1 o'clock, we'll reconvene this meeting. The next item on our agenda is to have Clint Gilchrist with Museum of the Mountain Man come forward, and we will have a discussion about the Summit County Centennial. Absolutely. Whatever entourage you want to bring up. Yeah.
Okay. Just about everybody in the room is here.
You got to back him up. That's make sure he doesn't mess up. You know?
If somebody would like a closer seat, there's one here. Yeah. Somebody come up. We're glad to have you.
That's right.
All right. You guys know Jim Gelhausen, Ann Noble.
Yeah.
Turn this thing on.
I got extra copies if anybody wants them to pull up.
Is that what you put in our packet?
Yeah, we got it.
We did kind of all over the map in terms of our agenda, so I have to get to that spot.
It? Yeah.
Well, it's the best spot, so.
It's right behind Mike Christie.
Oh, it's warm. See, this is afternoon stuff we already took care of this morning.
That's where I can't find it.
And the leaf is going this way.
Says I'm just
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so as you guys are aware, the Suffolk County Centennial is coming up in 2021 through 2023. And it's a little bit hard to pick the exact dates to celebrate, but I've put some of the important ones here. The background of this, the way this started, is several of us, Andrea and me at the museum, and we were talking with Ann, and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do for the centennial. We're going to do some displays, we're going to do some events. We don't know if it's all figured out yet, but it became quickly apparent that this should be much bigger than just us, and none of us want to be in charge of this bigger thing because we already got plenty to do. And so that's the genesis of coming to you guys and saying, this is Suffolk County Centennial. Can we convince you guys to kind of be the lead on this, the bigger project? And I think if you guys could put a structure in place that enabled all the rest of us organizations in the county to do our own thing, I could think pretty much every event that somebody already does, I would expect to have a centennial component to it. But I was kind of modeling this off of when the Wyoming State Historical, or when the Wyoming State Centennial happened, they put together a committee that kind of brought together some joint advertising and some a single place to keep track of all events, and so people could claim their things were centennial events and centennial projects. For example, the Museum of the Mountain Man was a centennial project, so they've been working for years to try to put that together, and the fact that Wyoming Centennial was coming up was a great carrot to say, hey, let's get that done by 1990. State had nothing to do with it, but it was called a centennial project, and I think that really helped a big time. So that was kind of the genesis of this, is how could the county maybe lead this effort? And the proposal that we've kind of settled on a little bit, that's completely open to whatever you guys want, but is I think they're really, it'd be nice to have a centennial committee, so it would be a group of people that represent all of the county that could kind of come together and discuss best way to enable all the organizations to celebrate the centennial and kind of coordinate so people aren't stepping over each other, events aren't stepping over each other, and projects aren't. I think it's probably a good policy to have somebody, at least one paid person that's part of that. I call them the coordinator. just because there's going to be lots of paperwork and arranging meetings and follow-up paperwork for various things. And then also, I suspect you guys as the county will want to have some signature event, some celebration at some point. I would think this committee and that coordinator could help execute that, whatever. Probably come up with a proposal for you as to what it should be and then help execute it. So that's kind of the basis of what I think we're really here today to do, is to see how you guys might want to, if you guys would want to be the lead and how you might want to progress with it.
We're more than willing to be involved, and I think by, I won't say by rights, but by position, it seems only natural that we would take the lead. In reviewing these dates, and it looks like it's going to be maybe a multi-year celebration,
I think so,
or something, but it looks like the first applicable date would be February 15th of 2021. With that in mind, we would have, I guess, some time to try to put together what would be a reasonable constitution of a committee, and I think it would give us the opportunity at our budget session to allocate the monies moving forward that we may need, not only for various projects, but for the individual, as you described, that may be the administrator in charge of this. Having said that, what, looking for some help on maybe what would be the next step here, in terms of brainstorming a committee. If the commissioners are going to take the lead, you know, we'd be having two commissioners on that committee, but, and I'm sure we're going to need input so that we cover most every facet in the county, not just the towns, but the outer line areas, the items, excuse me, of importance in the heritage of our county and so on. So we'll be willing to help with that. I'm not sure that, unless I've got some more capable help here, we're going to need all the help we can do to try to help put this forward. So what do you propose as the next step?
I don't quite know how to do it, but I think finding a coordinator to then help put together a committee and start driving that process would really help. But now, how to go about hiring that person, I'm not quite sure the best way to do that.
Yeah, I'm not either, particularly with budget, in terms of having money allocated for that. Commissioner Bowser?
Mr. Chairman, I think it might be helpful if, do you guys think you could kind of help put together a job description, something we could use that would be a basis of contracting with somebody temporarily? Because we don't, I don't think, have enough background to do that on our own, and we need your help to kind of help us figure out if we're gonna budget for it and hire somebody, we need to know what they're gonna do and what the expectation would be. You think you could help with that?
No. Well, I think he's got a really good start with the coordinator duties and already. And maybe that, you know, I guess we're trying to figure out cart and horse at what point we get a committee to put together a coordinator to put together a committee. I just think coordinator would be critical. And maybe, I just remember when I helped with this Pinedale Centennial, I was hired by the museum to do the town history. And as it got closer, the museum had a lot of wonderful events associated with that. But kind of at the last minute, you know, the chamber wanted to be involved, and this group wanted to be involved, that group, and we had, and it was, then kind of became an mutually exclusive rather than inclusive. So I think that's what we're trying to avoid from the get-go, is to make sure Daniel and everybody's included. I get what you're saying.
I mean, maybe it does make sense to put together a skeleton committee.
Yeah.
Maybe represent
come up with some ideas.
Represent one representative from each town, maybe, and a couple of you guys, and maybe some people from the historical community, since it's kind of a historical event. I know Ann wants to be on a committee. Yeah, I suggest Ann being on the committee.
I love this stuff.
She sounds new to the
She's already said no to that.
Well, I don't. I'd rather be the historian on it, help with it. I do have a book coming out this year with Jonita about the history of the Upper Green River Valley ranching and homesteading. So all of that could be tied in really nicely. I've been asked by the Annals of Wyoming to do a history this year of all the incorporated towns, because they're going to do a special issue. I've asked to do Big Piney, Marbleton, and Pinedale. So I do kind of already have a lot on my plate, but I would love to, having had some experience with this. In fact, I was involved with the State Centennial Committee. And so I guess I would love to be involved, but I don't have enough time to be the coordinator.
Well, it sounds like a starting point may be that we have or create an investigation committee that we can have get together to start hashing out ideas, structure, organization, and then maybe move forward from there. That's not going to cost anything but time.
Yeah.
And I don't know about how to go about soliciting or entertaining parties that would be interested in nominations for that, having a fair representation just on the investigation part. As far as the commissioners go, we'll all toss a coin and come up with a winner, and there'll be two of them on there. But I think, I don't know if that's something that can be coordinated through Matt Gaffney's office as a county administrator. I don't know particularly how to handle that. Perhaps we can take the lead and send out a form letter, so to speak, to some interested parties soliciting people that might be interested, and then have some group make a decision on that, and we could certainly be that. I don't want to have us in a position that we're controlling the show. We want to be participatory. We're not trying to run the show, whatever, but maybe Clint, once we got that letter out and got some suggestions of people on it, you and one of us and another select group you have may go over those and try to come up with a group that can be our investigation committee to start off.
I think it's going to be a better end result with multiple minds up front kind of throwing in ideas instead of me trying to come up with something.
Yeah, I would think automatically we would want the municipalities involved, the mayors involved, or people on their council, people from the historical society, that kind of thing, to get our footing and get started.
That sounds great.
But
I'm willing to help however I can.
And of course, Commissioner Rawhauser, this is right up his alley. He could do this.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that there's expertise in this county for a coordinator if it's advertised. And at some point in time, if the commission was willing to flip the bill, I'm sorry, Kerry, for that time, if it happens to be before budget or whatever, that we could find that expert to bring everybody together. If you guys get started with what's been talked about right here, that you are going to have a coordinator, or it'll just to bring everybody together on the same page. And so I hope,
It would be
I think it's a great idea.
Exciting to start talking this summer with the various activities about what's planned for the centennial years or whatever, to try to get the word out. So we'll have to determine the committee, the coordinator, the choice, how it's paid for. But I think, unless they hear opposition, I think the commission is quite willing to participate in this capacity and to organize and pay for the coordinator.
Great.
So we can all work together in a countywide effort for the county centennial. I think it's exciting. I think it'd be good.
Appreciate
Looking
that.
Forward to it.
Yeah.
Well, and Mr. Lear's back there. He doesn't have anything else to do.
See the look you got.
I know. I just thought I'd throw it out there.
I have a hard enough time taking care of you.
I understand. You and everybody else. But that's all right.
You know, I think what would help after this, if you and your group, and I'm saying group because there's a lot of people here, that would come up with some ideas of either representations or people to be on this investigation committee, and I'll turn those in to Matt Gaffney. Then we can help develop a letter, send out to those of interest, and try to get the ball rolling on when we may want to organize, convene, have the first meetings, and so on. Because, as you've alluded to, time's going to pass us by. We need to get moving on this. So.
Well, yeah. In addition to maybe us coming up with ideas and a letter being generated, could maybe at this early part of the stage an ad go out to see if there are people interested in the whole countywide that would be interested. That's sometimes the biggest drawback. We don't think of all the groups, like, sure, the cattlemen that should be involved, or, you know. So maybe an advertisement could go out really early on to see if there would be somebody interested in serving, representing a different group.
And I think we can do that. Matt, are you taking notes?
I am.
We can put it on the county website.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Yes, sir.
So what do you, in your mind, what do you perceive as the number that you're interested in this committee? Recognizing that sometimes more don't get...
Boy, that is difficult, and I don't know, because, you know, committees can get too large in a hurry in trying to accomplish something. So I guess...
But if you're looking at a couple of county commissioners and the three, you know, Daniel, Big Piney, Marlton...
You've already got...
Pinedale.
Seven, yeah.
You know, you've got a pretty good-sized start there, I guess. So.
Well, you only need one county commissioner then. What's your thinking, Mark? I mean, what would you... an idea?
Well, I think the direction you're going is what I was just looking for, maybe a little more direction along those lines, and maybe nobody wants to from those municipalities. I don't know that. That would be one of the letters that would come out.
Boy, seven is hardly a manageable number, but it's going to be hard to get it below seven if you're going to have just the three municipalities and the town involved. I mean, the commission involved. That would be four right there.
Yeah.
Seven and nine would be what I thought, but okay. What do you think?
Mr. Chairman, you know, too big of a group is not good, but if that group that is comprised of whomever can feed off of the public within their jurisdiction, so to speak, and bring those ideas that those folks that aren't on that committee to that committee, then I think you have a lot of really good workable ideas to come to the smaller table, so to speak.
Yeah, and there again, my thought would be that this is, to begin with, just an investigation type thing of what are our concerns, what are our areas, what do we need to do, where do we go. I think when we get to the point of being able to hire a coordinator, that's going to put a lot more in place in terms of putting that person in charge. But, I don't want to omit anybody, but I certainly share the concern, as Mark has stated, Commissioner Vickery as well. You know, we can't have a committee of 15, you know. So I threw out loosely seven or nine. I think trying to keep it to a minimum, but have enough representation.
I think that's correct. I don't know. I wasn't part of the state centennial, but I've read a little bit about it, and they had essentially subcommittees. In a sense, there was a state committee, but then each community had their own committee.
Right.
And I don't know that makes sense here, although it could alleviate a little bit of that. But that would be more the longer term committee, not the investigative committee.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess I want more minds on it than mine trying to figure out what's best.
You know, with regards to what Ann said, I think a good starting point would be for us to put something, advertisement out, solicit interest, see what kind of interest we get, and then kind of look that up, pass it around, and see what a number would be, knowing full well that we want to be inclusive but not have too many as to hold us back. Yeah.
So then, yeah, after we get this initial committee going, which would then come up with a job description, which I think would be critical, for both the person wanting to apply for it as well as the committee getting what they need. Then there would be a more formal committee, right?
Yes.
Then would you appoint them, the county commissioners?
I don't see necessarily where we'd have to do that.
It would just be something that people could say, I want to be on, sort of thing?
Yeah, and then
okay.
I think it would be up to maybe if we have a coordinator, for that coordinator to make up his or her mind of the composition of that committee and maybe look over the interested applicants and make that decision.
Okay. I was just wondering how this was all going to happen.
Well, we're
figuring
walking
it out.
Through it as we go.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess listening to this discussion, I'm trying to sort out in my mind what are we trying to depict, and I'm thinking, do we want to celebrate what we were as a county or as a community and just prior to becoming Sublette County and shortly thereafter, like representing the various economic custom and culture of the county at that time, which in other words would be emphasis on probably agriculture, forestry, the things that were going on that made the county in 1920 to 1923, is that what we're looking at, or are we looking at changes since that time?
Mm-hmm.
How we progress from 1920 to 2020?
That's in my mind, that's more. We
yes.
got 100 years to celebrate.
Exactly.
And there's 10 decades there, and I think
so all the way through.
Yep.
Okay. I would think so too.
And that would that would be, of course, for the committee to decide. The historian in me wants to give a little lecture saying that, you know, centennials are also commemorative times and it's a time to reflect and look back, but it's always with the educational opportunity to use that to go forward. So to just be looking at those little two years, that could be a lecture I could give in 15 minutes and it'd be pretty limited. I think we need to be looking back at a whole big swath of what is Sublette County at 100 years. And use that as a discussion point for where we're going forward. I would
sense.
Like to see this to be something of real meaning. I mean, yeah, we're going to have a nice hot dog and beer party, I guess, at the courthouse on January 2nd. Ooh, that might be cold. inside the courthouse. The parties and the celebration commemorations are marking the day are always fun, but I think we envision something much more than that.
So, Mr. Chairman, in the essence of kind of we're all struggling at where to go from now, I think we have a small direction to advertise. Would you guys come back to us in a month and kind of just to make sure we haven't dropped the ball?
Sure.
Or is a month too long? Would you rather 2 weeks? Or I think a month seems fair.
Well, I think it'd be nice if the advertising and some of the reach out happened before that.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
I agree.
Yeah, but
so
yeah,
I just want to make sure that somebody, us, don't drop the ball.
Ronnie.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Well, we could review where we are in a month if we start very, very soon in terms of advertising, trying to get interested parties to put together this investigation committee.
I think that's a great approach.
And then, we might even have you come back again, have it on the agenda, have that conversation. Do we want it 7 or 9? We got 12 interested parties or 5, and go through that process to try to get as much input as we can moving forward, because this is not, our decision is to help, promote, celebrate. We need the best input on how to maximize this, how to emphasize the right areas that need to be done. And boy, that's way beyond me. I've only been here 30 years. So, I think if we maybe had it come back in a month, and give Matt that direction to go ahead and advertise, we could see what response we have. We might even could have it on the agenda where interested parties would show up, and then you know, be interviewed, so to speak, as to what their interest is, why they want to be on it, what ideas or whatever. And I'm just thinking out loud here, but I do think we get moving on this and look forward into about a month's time frame to see where we are, and so you can keep our feet to the fire.
Sounds great.
Okay.
I like it.
In the meantime, should we be working on a coordinator duty job description?
We'll get stuff to that. I don't think we should do this job description. I think we should focus solely on getting interested people to be on this investigative committee.
Sounds good.
And let the investigative committee put
that
together a job description.
That will evolve into it.
But you might be able to help Matt with a narrative on the advertisement in terms of trying to adequately describe what we're looking for, what our goals are, and what we're interested in. And if he could do that, then we might, there again, we're thinking out loud here, we could probably include in that interested parties submit a letter of interest, and then we will be reviewing those or looking at those as part of our meeting in March or February.
February. That sounds good. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, if you can,
with any information.
And that sounds like a start.
A lot of brains here, so I got a pretty good email list that's already started that we can get some more ideas from.
Well, does that sound like a good place to begin?
Let's do it.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate this.
Thanks for
getting
this started.
Oh, that's great. Should we make those hot dogs
January 1st? Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Guys, buy those too.
Thank you.
I just got the sewage problem. Is that all that's left?
Yeah, the ore cut seat.
I gotta go. Conference call.
Yeah, be back by 2:15.
Shouldn't take.
Okay.
Can you go, sir? Are you
commissioners?
Front and center. Let's see. Is your name on this agenda? Let's see. It says.
Help! I'm not on the agenda.
No,
dang
it's
it!
Not. It's Abram and Josh. I know you're not Josh.
I'm definitely not.
Alan,
I think you should have moved here.
Yeah, I
no, you're fine.
Is that my microphone turned on?
Sit down. You can run that.
Maybe. Good.
Yeah. Pull up next to Alan, something like that. There we go.
Speak right into that, right?
And before we get started, just for the record, Commissioner Bowsman's been excused because he has to participate in a conference call. But we are ready for our discussion on the orchid seat. Whoever would like to start us out.
All right, Mr. Chairman, County Commissioners, I'm just going to kick it off and then turn it over to the experts. as you know, Lee Ditch is running through county property north of Shelter Park. The ditch was completed in 1899. We have been dealing for many years with what's called the Orchid Seep. And in 2001, the town of Pinedale, the Lee Ditch Association, and the county commissioners jointly put a drain into the Lee Ditch to drain out the excess water that's coming out of the Orchid Hill. It can get up to about 80,000 gallons a day. So it's a significant amount of water that flows to out of the hill into the ditch. This water is currently going to the town of Pinedale's wastewater treatment plant. And for the town of Pinedale, just as a side note, we are required by the DEQ to remove a certain number of impurities from our wastewater treatment facility. So we're not given a target goal. We're told you have to remove a certain amount. So clean water causes us problems, because when there's more clean water, it's harder to get impurities out. If they gave us just a 99.9%, that'd be easier, but they say you have to remove so many PPMs of impurities. So we have been looking at it for a period of time, trying to determine what to do with this water. It does go right into the wastewater treatment. Part of the reason we put the drain there was there was a significant amount of ice dams that would form in the lead ditch. Then the ditch would open or the frost would go away, and next thing you know, parts of town would be flooding. So we have been looking at some time whether or not we should take that water and put it into a stormwater drain. Currently, that stormwater drain, if we were to do it, would actually go straight down to the Boyd Skinner fishing pond. So we have the option of running it into the wastewater treatment plant or kicking it over to the fishing pond. In the process of this discussion, which is going to cost us money, we still have to solve this problem, there came to our attention some concerns by the ditch rider, who said that sometimes when he works in the ditch, he's getting sick and other things. And so we're like, we need to determine exactly what this water is before we kick it into Pine Creek. And so we began doing some testing. And as you know, the town of Pinedale has a lot of experience with bacteria at this point. And so in the process, we did begin discovering some total coliforms and some E. coli within the lead ditch. I'm going to let the team speak to the details of this, and then we have spoken to Alan, who has several recommendations for the commissioners. We don't believe that this is an immediate health threat. So we know the word E. coli scares everybody immediately, but we do have to pay attention to it. And before we can decide which direction this water goes to, we kind of need to know exactly what's causing this. And so that's going to be the rest of this presentation. I'll step back, but if you have questions for me, I'm here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
You did an amazing job.
Not bad. Once in a while, I like to get it right.
So we also did bring a copy of the kind of the long-term history on this, the concern. Abe has those.
Yeah, I have the copies if you guys would like one.
If you would like to read through, kind of goes over the whole kind of bigger history of the whole discussion between the town and the county and the operators of the Pine Creek Ditch Association. You know, one of the most interesting finds that I saw in there is when the town and the county came together and did the solution, it was only supposed to be a temporary solution. In this history, you'll see that.
What year was that?
2001, DEQ agreed that it would be a temporary solution. We're now 19 years into it.
Okay.
So, you know, with our concern, you know, with regulation from the DEQ increasing over the next few years, you know, are we going to have to look at upgrading the treatment facility? Are we going to be able to continue to take all of this, you know, stormwater or runoff from the hillside into the treatment system and treat it without raising rates and costs for the citizens? So we started, you know, having discussions with the ditch company because they were talking about, well, there's more flow coming in. Can we upsize that pipe? Can we make it bigger? Can we, you know, discharge more water into the city, you know, through the Shelter Park Sewer District? You know, so we started looking at those and looking at maybe alternate options, taking it to stormwater, taking it to, you know, a pond or another solution. And that's when it was brought to our attention that, hey, you know, the ditch rider, you know, is getting sick in the ditch. You know, there's, you know, concerns on, you know, water quality. Where's the water coming out of the hill? What's in it? So the town started to do some investigation in coordination with the ditch company. And we started to dig through the archives and the NRCS and Sublette County Conservation District did some testing back in, I believe, 01. Mm-hmm. And we tried to originally match those same sample locations to maybe see if there had been a trend up or down from the sample and the water qualities back at that date. And the more we started sampling, the more puzzling the information came up. We kept finding, okay, this is similar to what it was back then, this is different. So we increased to a number of 3 different sampling events through the last year to try to get more of a picture of what might be going on in that area and get a better representative analysis of what's happening above stream. What's the water that we're actually taking? And ultimately, what can we do with it? Do we have to continue to treat it, or can we discharge it somewhere else?
I'm going to interrupt and just specify that we are talking about when the ditch is off. So the water, you know, we're looking at the water that's in the ditch. I mean, we did test it when the ditch was open, but if you look at some of the results, you'll see that it's when the ditch is actually closed, that is actually where we're starting to look at the Orcutt Hill seep itself, just to make sure we're clear, because we know what Fremont Lake water is like. We've tested, we're good on that one.
And when the ditch is open, our drain is closed.
Right.
It's irrigation water.
Not a concern to us, but when the ditch is off and the drain is open, all that water that comes, that collects in the ditch from the seep, ultimately comes to the treatment plant, and we have to treat it as it was wastewater. So really, the technology has increased so much from the 2001 testing to the current testing that we've done, that we're looking at, you know, lower numbers, lower percentages of what's in the water. On the previous slide, we mentioned, you know, we looked at nutrients. Nutrients really didn't come back anything out of the ordinary. The biggest concern that we started seeing as we went forward was we started picking up E. coli in the ditch.
So this here's the March 25th sampling from last spring that the town completed. The second one was the next slide, go ahead, Josh, is the results from May 6th, which show kind of an upward trend in E. coli, especially directly in front of the main part of the seep. And then we did the town did another sampling event on May 22nd, which shows, you know, upwards of 400 E. coli, you know, in front of the seep. And so at May 22nd is when the ditch was turned on, so that's the last sampling that was done in the spring of that year. We started evaluating again this fall when the ditch went back off and did another sampling event. But because we had such a limited map of kind of where this was at, we tested it up and downstream. So we added three sites, two upstream and then one downstream all the way at the Pine Creek, or sorry, where the ditch goes underneath Fremont Lake Road on the hill there. And we also added some additional tests to look at, is it like a human source? There's some of the history on it, and especially with the indication that maybe some illness is coming out of the dish, understand, is it, you know, septic influence or something. Now the additional nutrients we did came back negative. The MST we did came back, you know, bovine, no indication of human presence. And then we hired a JVA, because we're not water quality necessarily experts, and they evaluated the data as well. And so here's the results that we got in November, which is when we opened up our drain again. And we see definitely a heat map that shows an indication of E. coli in the spring area, but, you know, again, nothing terribly alarming, just there's some form of E. coli source near that spring. Nothing in the results, you know, like JVA pointed out, we have a memo from JVA indicating, you know, the nutrients are within kind of groundwater standards. The only thing that seems kind of out of whack is the E. coli numbers. And so that was our November testing. Those test results took a little while to get back, and that's when we were started talking to Alan between meetings and bringing Alan on board. And Alan, I think we can turn this over to you, where we're at right now as far as what we did. Just, oh man, was it last week?
Last weekend.
Let's go to the next slide. And this is kind of the general recommendations from JVA. You know, we have some higher total coliforms and E. coli near the seep, and none of the nitrate, nitrites, or ammonia concentration exceeded regulatory limits. So that's excellent news. They recommended that we identify if any part of that contamination is a groundwater source compared to surface disturbance right there at the seep, because we have ditch samples right there in front of all of it. And so one of the things that Alan was able to do was to get a pipe embedded into the hillside, and we were all started to look at, you know, we did another sampling event, which you'll see in a second here in January. And so the blue star is where the pipe got driven in, and that's a true groundwater kind of measurement. But we're not picking up any E. coli's really. You know, we got one E. coli down near the ditch drain, but there's not really, the E. coli's not still there. And so it didn't answer any questions, but it also gives reinforcement that there's not any public health concern or anything like that. So this, Alan, I think I can turn it over to you as far as, this is the sampling that the town has done. This information was given to Alan. He's been on board for a couple of weeks now, kind of helping us and going over it.
Do you want to just expand the lifespan of E. coli so they can understand?
So yeah, E. coli, like total coliforms, the TCEs you see on the map, is can live in soils and rock and pretty naturally occurring, not terribly concerning to see total coliforms, but an E. coli is, it's not like a long lifespan outside of like the gut. It's kind of a, if you start seeing E. coli, something's putting it there. It's not going to naturally occur in the environment or naturally reproduce or anything like that. So that's the contamination concern.
I'm going to switch to, there we go. This is the probe he's talking about. So I made one of these at home. And I'd go up to the bottom, kind of the soggy area, and pound it into the hill. Hopefully not hit rocks. sometimes I don't. I think I'll try some marbles. And then, then I'd put on another 4 foot, smack it on in there 7 feet, and I think your thing show a picture of it trickling out of there. And that's the sample he's referring to. That showed no E. coli. But I guess the conjecture is perhaps the E. coli is coming from some septic system on Forkett Hill, which seems unlikely. But as you'll see there, I think in all likelihood, the E. coli levels can be attributed to the deer and moose droppings. I'm ankle deep in water with, deer pellets and moose pellets scattered, helter skelter around there. And so I'm not shocked to see, because E. coli exists in all warm-blooded animals. So, I think that's one way to refute the conjecture that it's from the Orchid, a malfunctioning septic system on Orchid Drive, would be to do three or four more of these sand points in there at several locations and test that sample. And that could help us, it would help us come to the conclusion. I don't think we can ever be certain that there's not some septic that's got some preferential pathway that's trickling down 65 feet, but our understanding of the degradation of bacteria suggests that is unlikely. So, and then in a lot of regards, this area acts as a what they call a stormwater retention basin. It's kind of collecting, just like a snowmelt event or a rain event might flush the surface of any contaminants, and that's what the spring is doing. It's taking that. Some spots there's 15, 20 feet of kind of level ground where it would wash things into the basin, and some of it comes just about right into the ditch. So I don't think it's surprising at all to see elevated E. coli contents, but that use a stormwater retention basin can have E. coli in the tens of thousands, given the right circumstances. So what was surprising, the biggest surprise to me was to see it disappear between a 2 month sampling period of having 200-300 organisms per 100 milliliter to less than one. To me, that indicates that, if septic use on the hill was generally constant, we would presume, you would see those levels in the basin stay constant. But if it's the pellets, and the frozen pellets, or sometimes it's the seep slows down because it's minus 10, then you can anticipate that the observed levels would fluctuate, which is what we observe.
So, it would be logical to conclude maybe that you need to have further sampling to confirm.
Yes, and the next, correct. And my next slide, recommendations are exactly that. Of course, downgradient sampling of the private wells, take some random samples of some homeowners down there, because in addition to the sampling I did out of the hillside, just one sample, I also took one sample of a buddy's house that was about 400 feet away, and it was potable and perfect.
And from looking through this, and I guess you can make the statement or not, but it seems to me that you have consulted with DEQ with regards to this, and you're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, they did find it remarkable, you know, the observed E. coli in this area, but they certainly didn't discount the need for perhaps a little more analysis, so we could collect a little more data.
But we didn't find out how long is temporary, did we?
So, Mr. Chairman, from our perspective as the town of Pinedale, we would like to solve this 70 to 100,000 gallon a day process that's going on. In an ideal world, we'd kick it into a stormwater drain, and it would be a simple solution. You put it in a pipe, and it's gone. So because it's not in the town limits, we're hoping that one way or another, if Mr. Houston and the DEQ and the county can come back and just say, look, we've looked at this, it's fine, stick it in the stormwater, we're good to go, then we would take steps in the spring, and then the fall, kind of put maybe work on a project, and we'll have to work on that together because it's in county land, but pull a pipe over and drop it into our stormwater. Otherwise, the other option is to put a meter in the pit and start measuring how much water is actually coming through, so that at least our guys in wastewater treatment know what to do with the water chemically. So we kind of have to come up with some solution of what to do with this water. And from our perspective, it'd be very helpful if the county would just clarify the source, and if the DEQ says this is good to go into the stormwater, that we would get a letter from them saying we're okay with this, no problem, because as you can imagine, the town is very sensitive about these subjects, and so we would appreciate whatever help you can offer on that. And that, I think.
Alan, does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it does. I mean, yeah. We can, you know, it shares every characteristic of stormwater, which, you know, the DEQ does not regulate stormwater.
Right.
But I don't know who can define something. So it could be a process to say, you know, I'm still foggy about when a spring becomes groundwater, it becomes surface water when it hits the ground.
Right.
But
well, we could do our diligence in terms of this, but still that's not a guarantee to get in the second part of your request, which is a statement from the DEQ saying it's okay to put it back into your system.
Right, because from the town's perspective, you know, we have been dealing with the EPA on Fremont Lake for quite some time. We are one of the few states in the United States that allows the EPA to work on the surface water. But everything else comes into the DEQ. So when our wastewater treatment plant is being inspected, it's being inspected by the DEQ. When they're looking at our ponds down south of town, it's the DEQ. And so before we take excess water one way or another, we need to have something from them saying we can do this. Some sort of permit needs to be signed. And so, because otherwise it just is going to cause us a bureaucratic nightmare, to be really frank. And I think it seems like Mr. Houston has a good relationship with the DEQ. It seems like the characterization is right there with stormwater, so that's all good. We would just need, we're hoping that between us that we can get that kind of permit done so that if it is permit stormwater, we just stick it in the stormwater.
Yeah.
I just know that, and be responsible about it, because, I mean, like we said, it would be a pipe that goes straight from Lee Ditch down to the fishing pond in Boyd Skinner Park, and there will be people asking questions, so we want to make sure we have our I's dotted and our T's crossed, and we are assuring everybody that we've done everything. And I think we're there. We just need to get the paperwork that says.
Well,
that.
And I think we can move forward with doing what Alan has recommended, and then give that information to DEQ. What we can't guarantee is what DEQ will say, but I think that's our next step.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens once the data is collected and the analysis made, and then the decision's made from there. So I think we have a path moving forward.
Yeah, and I would agree in that sense, because from our perspective, it's either going to go to stormwater or it's going to go to wastewater. So eventually this spring, we're going to take some sort of action of what to do with that water, one way or another. We prefer the stormwater. So whatever happens, that'd be great. But we will probably be coming back and talking with you and the Lead Ditch Association and say, it's option A, it's option B. Now let's move forward on the next step. So.
Sounds good.
I get the indication from the DEQ, or at least one of the fellows I talked to, that they just need to see a proposal. Somebody needs to propose something, whether it would be the county, say we propose to collect this water, storm water, and get it to the town property line. You know, and that could be the end of it, you know, something that simple.
I think what's important to note is, you know, there are, the EPA does have kind of recreational limits of E. coli. And it's one sample, I believe it's 410 or 420. It's three samples in 60 days. It's like an average of 120 or 130 or somewhere in that range. And we're, I mean, you know, and this is a pretty small source compared to, like, say, dumping into Pine Creek. But just making sure that we're understand what the source of it's just deer and moose. It's pretty naturally occurring. I put it in stormwater, and Pine Creek sees plenty of other deer and moose. It's just a matter of understanding that source, I think.
We have no positive means of identifying the source, and we don't have the sophistication to do any type of DNA analysis or whatever to define if it's human or animal waste, do we?
Well, we've done the testing on the E. coli, and as Abe specified, it did come back negative as human, so that was good. And it did come back as bovine, but not ruminant. Or no, it came back as ruminant, but not bovine, and we did a double test, and it kind of negated themselves out. That testing can be done. I mean, again, the town of Pinedale has a lot of experience with bacteria at this point, so there are options available. We can dig deeper if we want to. But I just, like, at this point, we as a town of Pinedale and the Lead Ditch Association are kind of saying, we can't go much further. We don't want to walk on people's private property. We really feel uncomfortable measuring water in the county. This is kind of, we're neighbors and we want to work with each other, but I think at this point we kind of have to step back and we'll do what you ask us to do. So.
Mr. Mayor, so is there the means of conveyance from there to there is already in place?
Right now there is a storm drain in Lee Ditch that goes down into the shelter park. It goes into the shelter park sewer district. And so right now that is not metered, so we don't know roughly. We have an idea based on pipe size. Like I said, it could be anywhere between 60 to 100,000 gallons based on experience that other people we've seen in the ice flows. So that water is going into that pipe and then eventually ending up in our wastewater facility at the south side of town. So that it is it's not spilling out on the streets. And again, it's not the irrigation water that we're mostly concerned about. It's the Orcutt Hill seep. And it's interesting that if you look at your agendas from history, the Orcutt seep has been on the commissioner's agenda for 20, 30, 40 years. So this has been a known problem for quite some time. It's not a new problem. So, and that's why in 2001, we just put a pipe in there. But I think we need to go to the next phase now.
So where is the closest storm drain?
Correct me. You know, right now it kind of goes over here and then heads down that way, but you're proposing it
over
to
one
here.
So right now
the drain basically comes straight to West Lake Road, and Shelter Park has its own sewer collection system that was put in. So it flows through the existing sewer or collection system for Shelter Park until it crosses Valley Road, and then it comes into the city's collection system, flows down South Tyler all the way to the wastewater treatment facility. So in one of our last phases of replacing water and sewer in the town, we replaced the infrastructure on North Maybell, and we included storm drain and under drain infrastructure that in theory could be tied into here on, I believe, Rendezvous Street. So to tie it into the storm drain, effectively you'd have to construct a new pipe from the drain to the storm drain through the county easements of the roads and tie it in, and then it goes to the storm system and goes away. If the other option that we've talked about is a metering vault, which would have to be installed somewhere in the area of the drain, on flat ground with enough room for the piping and everything, and then the water would have to flow through that device. We'd have to read the meter and then run that into the calculations of the removal. And
we turn that into the DEQ, and then the DEQ knows how much storm water is going into our wastewater system. And so one. I think the it's going to be a it's going to be a, it's going to be difficult to put a new pipe in, as Mark will probably know. However, it's a pipe. There's no valves. The water will just flow gravity fed, and we're essentially we're done. Like I said, that would be the easiest and probably cheapest long-term solution, as opposed to putting a vault in there with a meter.
And we frankly don't want clean water in our sewer.
Yeah. You
know, it'd make our life easier if water was in our sewer.
We treat that $100,000. We treat that 100,000 gallons of water every single day. I mean, that's a cost that's passed on to the town of Pinedale's water meter residents, because we are have to treat that water before it goes back out of the system. So it's a cost to us.
Any other questions from the commissioners? Comments?
First thing comes to my mind is to put an under drain in from there, clear down the other one's going to be expensive, to say the least. And in other situations, is there any way it can be put back into the water table system? Right now the water table up there is what? So we do a drain field and it dumps back into it.
I think some of the well logs show the static water at 15 feet.
So that seems like
it's worth exploring, I think. I don't know if it's
We just did one here.
Realistic or not.
At the courthouse 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You just did one as the town over on Cole Street. That seems like a much simpler, cheaper solution I would like to explore.
I mean, we could definitely put 100,000 gallons a day. It's a lot.
Oh, I have no doubt.
But, I mean, I think it's worth looking at.
One of the things about putting it back into the groundwater is the wells in the Orchid Shelter Park subdivisions. And that's why they had to put the sewer system in, because they were contaminating their own wells.
Like I said, it's been a problem that's been around since 1920, the county, the town, and the Lee Ditch Association. I hope we can find a solution in 2020. I'll be done with it, but maybe that's okay.
Centennial solution.
There it is.
I like that.
There you go. We'll move it forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. We made progress in the last 100 years.
Solved one of our problems.
Yeah. So I think we have direction for now.
Yeah. If you're agreeable to let Mr. Houston move forward, and I don't know what that would require on his behalf, and then if you want the town of Pinedale, we do have a lab available so we can do certain testing. We can give you recommendations of different consultants and stuff like that. We're willing to help like where we can, but we, like I said, I kind of feel like at this point we're kind of giving you the ball, saying we'll let you figure out how you want to solve the problem and then get back to us what we should do with that water, A or B.
Well, we need the have the confirmation of the samples and get the opinion from the DEQ. Okay.
So one thing that Mike mentioned, if I kind of picked the low-hanging fruit when I drove this first sand point in. I don't know if might have to wait.
It'd be a little hard 60, right now.
90 days. I mean, I'll end up in the drink trying to drive another for it.
Right.
So.
And we understand that as
I can certainly do some random sampling of the well water just to, you know, sample greater than the one I did.
Right.
Maybe an additional 4 or 5.
Okay. As long as we're on the same page.
I think we are.
Okay.
Like I said, we don't feel like there's an immediate threat here. And we know that people get scared when they hear the word E. coli. But we do have to be vigilant and do the right thing and make sure that we put it in the right place when we're done. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take
care. Appreciate your hard work and concern. And I'm glad we don't have a health problem.
Right, exactly.
Take a short break.
We'll be taking just a few minute break.